Você sabe que eu falo da boca pra fora, que eu me apavoro.
I don't remember how I found WPFW nearly 47 years ago. But when I heard the insightful information and soul-filled sounds coming from my radio, I instantly realized that PFW is the truth and a gift. For nearly five decades, it has bestowed news from a perspective that I respect, opinions that resonate with my worldview, and music that makes my heart sing. Jazz and Justice Radio is the real deal. This is Vanessa Dixon Briggs wishing a joyful 47th birthday to WPFW 89.3 on your FM dial.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around, put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on, get in that.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. Somebody's at the door. Welcome to Crossroads. I've been running, trying to get my breath. I'm only a teenager in Nikichi. Good morning and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every week, every Tuesday at 10, here on WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. WPFW is heard around the world. And again, thanks to all the people who've been writing this, texting us from various countries. I had no idea the show would blow up like this. Thank you, people, for tuning in. As usual, we start off at what we call the grapevine. But before I get to grapevine, I want to send out a shout out to, I need to get in touch with Rudy Yates of Effect. Please have him call me. I'm trying to get to Rudy Yates of Effect. Please have him get in touch with me. Now we start with what we call the grapevine. Information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey, officials failed to act when COVID-19 hit prisons. A new study shows the deadly cost. People in prison died at 3.4 times the rate of the free population, with the oldest prisoners hit hardest. New data holds lessons for preventing future deaths. Now, a new national study out of one of these collaborations between the University of California, Irvine, and Brigham, that at the peak of the pandemic in 2020, people inside prisons died almost 3.5 times more frequently than the free population. Over 6,000 incarcerated people died in the first year of the pandemic, researchers found. The virus hit older generations especially hard, and death rates for people aged 50 and over rose far higher than others, reaffirming how much more vulnerable older prisoners are. 3,000 people were released from North Carolina prisons to homelessness last year. Out of 18,000, the number is higher than that. Figures obtained in the North Carolina Newsline record records request documents challenge facing, that's messed up. About 1 in 6 people released from North Carolina prisons in 2023 were homeless. And that's the same figure that's almost identical to what's happening in Washington, D.C., 3,500 men are released and women are released every year from prisons all over the country back to Washington, D.C. And here's an interesting piece. I made 13 cents an hour as a prison janitor. Here's why I donated my wages to Gaza Relief. It's a common misconception that once someone enters jail or prison, they lose interest in the outside world. An incarcerated man in California working as a janitor for 13 cents an hour has donated $17.74 of his earnings to relief efforts in Gaza. Over the 3 months after he sent him the check, he shared the story to one of his friends who posted it on the internet, and over 32,000 hits were recorded. The images and videos I've seen were already horrifying, and day by day, the overall destruction and death toll, particularly among children, was climbing. As I saw it in Gaza, losing access to water, electricity, and fuel would escalate the war into a full-blown humanitarian crisis. How many more people lose their lives and their right to dignity? Given that I made 13 cents an hour, I knew it would take many shifts to come up with even a $10 money order, but the dollar amount was inconsequential to me. What mattered was the attention behind the gesture. This guy makes, oh my God, 13 cents an hour, and he took his check and sent it to the people at Gaza. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. And thank you, thank you. Our topic this morning is, are black female prosecutors being targeted? And we have a young lady on us with us this morning who we've had on a couple of times on the show, the state's attorney from Baltimore, Maryland, Marilyn Mosby. Good morning, Ms. Mosby.
Good morning, Rose Brown. How are you?
And thank you, lady. And I'm proud of you, and we supported you when you was here before on our show. I do
yes,
not like what I've been hearing, what they're doing to you. So we wanted to start off with, in the last decade, reform-minded or progressive prosecutors appealed to more voters as calls for police accountability and police awareness of the injustices within the criminal legal system grew. And lady, when you got in and I saw this wave of progressive young black prosecutors across the country, it gave me hope, because what a lot of people don't realize or know, that the prosecutor is almost as important as the judge. They decide what your charge will be and how much time you're facing, and they do a sentencing memorandum to recommend what you should or shouldn't get, or probation or go home or whatever. And young lady, when you came in with that Freddie Gray situation, back in the day when Freddie Gray was shot, he was brutalized in the transport van from Baltimore when he died. And you were the only one in the state of Baltimore that we can recall that pushed ahead to try to prosecute these five or six officers, and they were found not guilty. And as a result of that, you encountered a lot of threats on your life. You encountered all kinds of racist, sexist, homophobic statements, whatever. And I know your life has been turned upside down. So I want to say thank you, lady, for standing up to what you've been going through. Our hat is off to you, Marilyn Mosby.
And we got to go.
Huh?
I said, thank you, Rose.
And I thank you for you being you, because we never had, I've did 30 years and 4 months in the criminal justice system, and we've been doing this show for 16 years, and we deal with all aspects of the criminal justice arena. But what my population don't seem to understand, that how important is the prosecutor's role in the criminal justice system, and what you try to do, you and the several other Fannie Willis and Letitia James and all these other black progressive young female prosecutors are making ways to get our people out of prison and correct some of this injustice. And I don't like what they're doing to you, what they did to you. Explain what happened. You was convicted of what?
Yeah. So let me say, Roach, first, and I appreciate the accolades, but I want to say thank you. To be honest with you, Roach, and I've said this before, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he or she stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he or she stands at times of challenge and controversy. Martin Luther King told us that a long time ago, right? And so
the fact
that Malcolm X foretold 60 years ago into the future when he proclaimed the most disrespected, unprotected, and neglected person in America is a black woman. That was the case in 1964, and it's still the case in 2024. So the fact that you're even having a show where you're talking about the treatment of black women prosecutors in particular is incredibly important. And so I want to say thank you. You are absolutely right. Prosecutors are one of the most important stakeholders in the criminal justice system. We decide who's going to be charged, what they're going to be charged with, what sentence recommendations we're going to make. We make a determination as to whether somebody gets into the criminal justice system in the first place. And so when you look at how important that role is, 95% of the prosecutors in this country that are making those decisions are white, 79% are white men.
Yes.
And as women of color, we represent 1% of all elected prosecutors in the country. And so, yes, we are absolutely under attack. And people have not been there to rally in our support. And so for those of your foot soldiers and earth angels that are here rallying on my behalf, like yourself, like Tyrone, like Sheena, like Bill, like Haki, like so many of others who have been in support of what is happening to black women prosecutors that are standing for justice and equality in this country right now, I want to say my hat's off to you and thank you.
Well, we appreciate that. But again, fair is fair and right's right. And we don't like no jiggy boogie. And this is jiggy boogie as we see it. I know you were found guilty in November in the court in Greenbelt, Maryland, for two counts of perjury. But that to me, I know the driving forces behind a lot of this. I've been dealing with the criminal justice system for over 50 years, since the 50s, when I was a little kid. And I know how they play. And when I looked at the women of color represented well below 2% of the prosecutorial population.
Yeah.
Black women had broken glass ceilings by becoming the first to earn those titles with each election victory. But compared to the over 1,000 white men who have consistently led prosecutor's office, black women, historic gains are dismal. Yeah. And you, Fannie Willis, and Letitia James, Kim
Aaron
Fox.
Aaron Ayala, Kim Fox, Kim Gardner, all of us.
Yeah. And so, I never seen black women prosecutors so much in the media as we had in these past few years. I've been going to the prison over 50 years, and I've never seen a black female prosecutor be dragged through the mud, be denigrated, be disrespected and insulted like this. And I knew when that thing came down with Freddie Gray, when you took the stand to prosecute these five, six officers and the fraternal order police, the whole PAL structure, everybody over in Maryland was against you for proceeding with this case, and they found the guy's not guilty. But what I like out of that is you took a stand, lady. You wasn't afraid to go to the powers that be, and you knew there was unfairness, injustice, some juggy boogie going on in this Freddie Gray case. And for you to take that stand, lady, my hat is off to you for being
who you are. I appreciate that, Rose, but you got to really think about it. So Freddie Gray was really just the first, right? And the things that are happening and the attacks against me, it's illogical, and I'll get into it. But one of the things that under the Trump administration, William Barr made it very clear. That was his then attorney general. Right, that these rogue prosecutors, we have to do something about them. And one of the things that he emphasized in his speech is that the Department of Justice will continue to be vigilant and will take any action against any jurisdiction or any individual politician who unlawfully obstructs the enforcement of laws. These social justice rogue DA reformers refusing to enforce whole categories of laws have to be handled. And so that's exactly what they did. If you think about like some of the policies, even beyond Freddie Gray, I was the youngest chief prosecutor of any major American city in the country. I was one of the first to impose accountability on charging police officers for the death of a black man, Freddie Gray. When I did, President Trump made it clear that I should be prosecuting myself, right? After the sabotage.
Trump said
Yeah, he said that at the time. He said it a few times. But even after the police sabotage of that case, I published police accountability reforms in 2016 that was subsequently debated and passed nationally after and following the tragic death of George Floyd. I successfully, and I want to emphasize this, right? It was, we learned our lessons in prosecuting the police officers in Freddie Gray. My office successfully convicted 33 police officers after Freddie Gray. We created the first conviction integrity unit in the entire state of Maryland where we exonerated 13 innocent black men who cumulatively served 300 years in prisons for crimes they did not commit. We helped pass legislation that mandated compensation for those exonerees. We drafted, we lobbied, we passed legislation to vacate convictions of over 800 people impacted by corrupt police officers planting guns and drugs on citizens for decades. We set up policies where we stopped prosecuting marijuana possession in the city of Baltimore because it was being discriminately enforced, right, against poor black and brown people. I had the awesome opportunity of testifying on the legalization of marijuana in Congress before the president said that we should be legalizing this. And one of the issues that you brought up earlier, which I find extremely interesting, is that they finally put out the report with regard to the release of these inmates in COVID. We were the ones. I was the one advocating for the governor of the state of Maryland and releasing inmates and going and looking at our policies and releasing people out of, not only calling for the release of inmates out of prison, but releasing individuals out of the jail. And we were able to reduce the jail population just through our COVID policies of not prosecuting minor offenses that have nothing to do with public safety. We reduced the jail population by more than 20%. And so that's the reason I'm being targeted, right? Because we're equalizing justice and ensuring equality and justice and freedom for all.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that did, go ahead, Nikichi.
No, so I just wanted to pipe in. You are absolutely correct. That is the reason why you are being targeted. You are being punished for your progressive policies, the policies of your office that have been trailblazers, really, across the country. And they say, you know, you got to pay for this. And it's absolutely ridiculous. I remember back during the 70s and 80s, it wasn't prosecutors, it was black elected officials in particular. I remember Clarence Mitchell in Baltimore, the whole issue of the harassment of black elected officials. And now it's gone to the punishment of progressive prosecutors for doing what prosecutors should be doing anyway, securing justice, which is what you're doing. So that's why when I, you know, saw all of the issues and information out there about a pardon for you, some people might think, oh, well, that's far-fetched, but we seem to forget that Richard Nixon was pardoned, okay, by Ford for actual crimes, you know, that he committed. Two persons, former FBI agents who were involved in the COINTELPRO, the FBI secret illegal program to disrupt and destroy the black movement. The only two officials that were convicted of COINTELPRO offenses were pardoned even before they began to serve yet one day in prison. So there is precedent, a P-R-E-C-E-D-E-N-T, for a presidential pardon for you, Attorney Moxley.
And you know what? You made some really valid points. And when, just to talk about the convictions, right, I was convicted of three felonies. The Department of Justice has been targeting me for 4 years. They've combed every aspect of my life. They've, you know, gone to my neighbors' homes, my children's dance instructors, my hairdresser. They show up to people's homes at 5 a.m. To interrogate them. They've sent subpoenas to all of the black churches so that everybody would want to stay away from me because they were afraid that I somehow was corrupt. This is it is so illogical. My actions were entirely legal, above board, and I'm facing 40 years in prison. They're now using the system that I was attempting to equalize to punish me. They have, in essence, charged me for simply withdrawing my own retirement savings, the money that I put away every 2 weeks. And this is not PPP loans. This is not accessing COVID funding the way that the media reports it. This is withdrawing my own retirement savings. And the craziest thing about it is they've set a precedent because they're using this adverse financial consequence as that was the COVID provision. It hasn't even been defined. It's never been legally defined. And their own witness got up on the stand and said, as long as I suffered a $50 adversity, I could access and I could withdraw my retirement savings. They still found me guilty, even though there was proof of more than $3,000 worth of adversity. And it's crazy because now I'm sitting here and I'm facing 40 years in jail for accessing my own money, which is insane.
You know, like Nikita said, we know what the charges are one thing, but we know what's behind the scenes, the driving force, the political racism and bigotry. And as I said before, I've never in my life seen this many black female prosecutors who are being targeted all over the country, from Chicago, New York, Fannie Willis down in Georgia, and you. And we understand that. And as a recipient or defendant in numerous cases, I know the role of a prosecutor. And when you started that thing in Baltimore about stop arresting the squeezy workers, and you're criminalizing poverty and your integrity unit about them men you came out with an integrity unit, you, the other ladies in Chicago, Kim Fox, Rollins, Letitia James, these integrity units that go back and look at these cases of men and women who've been sentenced illegally, unjustly, and unfairly. and bring them out. You bringing people out, lady, and let them know that they have a right to be treated as fairly. And because of that, sure, everybody make a mistake. And they call us about doing this show, Merle. And I just said, hey, talking about a pardon. Biden should give you a pardon. But the timing is, I received executive clemency from President Ford. And you have to get sentenced before you request a pardon. But I like to suggest that the community, the folks who are listening from in the States, around the world, to write letters, make phone calls, send emails, and text to say, keep this lady in the street. You have two kids, don't you? How old are your kids?
Yeah, my girls are now 13 and 15 years old. And unfortunately, I've pretty much lost everything behind this case. Because again, they've been combing every aspect of my life. I've had to spend more than almost $500,000 in legal bills. I've depleted my retirement savings. Clearly, my marriage took a strain as a result of all of this. I've filed for divorce. I mean, it's had
yes, yeah, yeah.
Incremental
it's destroying your whole life.
It did, but you got to think about this. It's not just me. As you've already indicated, Roach, they've targeted Kim Gardner. She's no longer in office. Kim Fox said, I'm done with this. Ku Klux Klan was outside her office. Aramis Ayala, they were sending nooses to her office. You look at Rachel Rollins, first black U.S. attorney that they appointed. They targeted her. They wrote the playbook with me, and they've been doing this since the entirety of my administration for the past 10 years, right? They put me and blast me, villainize me, send me hate mail, death threats. I just got a call 2 days ago where they call me an effing nigger and an effing monkey, right? Like, they sent a death threat to my home just last month, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So this is the type of thing, this is the type of harassment where they were able to write the playbook with me and fully execute it on every other black woman prosecutor across this country. And this is a result of us not standing for one another. And it's also an intimidation factor. They're intimidated because we are now equalizing the playing field. And guess what else? More importantly, most importantly, we are reducing the jail population. And guess what business model is based off the backs of black and brown people? The national prison industrial complex.
Yes. You know, go ahead, Nikichi.
Yeah, Roach, I just want to say, and Attorney Monsley, I know the standard on the books is that in order to request a pardon, you have to have been sentenced and been out of prison for a number of years. But that's not always the way it happens in practice. That's why I brought up Nixon. That's why I brought up, I forgot their names, but those two FBI agents. Because basically, the president, the executive, has plenary power to pardon or commute sentences in the way in which they feel. Now, I know that things are on the books, but.
It's not even on the books. That's just customary. That's what they typically
customary,
do.
Correct.
But he has the power and the authority to go in and to cancel this. You got to think about this. This bogus investigation, where they targeted me for 4 years, started under Trump. He said he was going to target me. And when I called him out when he was in Oregon and his federal officers were going around kidnapping people, and me and Larry Krasner went and wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post and said, don't you bring this to Baltimore because we'll prosecute your federal agents. 2 months later, they opened an investigation into me. Mm. Biden's administration did nothing to stop this, right? And so that's what we're asking. Hey, this is an unfair targeting investigation. It was an unfair prosecution. It's illogical. You're setting a precedent. I am the only person in America, let me just be clear, only person in America charged under this provision. 739 people in the city of Baltimore did the exact same thing in withdrawing their own retirement savings, and I'm the only person in America being targeted, prosecuted and convicted.
Yeah. You know, we know what the underlying and the motivating causes is, and I know they convicted you on two counts of perjury. That's beside it. As you said, Nikichi, President Trump gave out 176 pardons. Biden only gave out 13. And he ran on the platform of letting more and more people out of prison. And he has the authority, as you said, plenary, that he can pardon you right now. He can step in. Hello. Go ahead.
I said he could pardon me before the sentencing. The sentencing
that's
is
right.
on May 23rd.
That's right. That's right.
And I mean, he has to that point, though, Roach, you know what else? This is what we have to understand, our power and the power of unity. Right now, we are in an election year. who needs our vote more than anything else, right? We got a
yes.
the former president trying to run again, trying to regress and make America great again in his eyes.
Yeah.
And then we got this president that, like, you need the black vote. We need to step
yes.
up, yeah. right? And when you think about the 1994 crime bill, right? I was one of the only prosecutors, only people in this country attempting to reverse the consequences of that failed bill. And now I'm the only person in America now facing 40 years for withdrawing my own retirement savings.
And on top of that, you've been destroyed. They destroyed you economically.
Yeah.
When you got convicted, did you lose your job or you got any income coming in?
Well, that's the thing. They did all this villainization so I would lose my election. I lost my election, right? So,
yes.
No, I don't have a job. I have three felonies that they're hanging over my head. They've postponed the case. And yes, they're trying to put me in financial ruin. That's the reality of the situation.
Go ahead, Nikisha.
So there's a petition that's out there in support of a pardon for Marilyn Mosby. I just want to give the website so the WPFW listeners can go to that website, sign the petition, call the White House line. The website is www.justiceformarilynmosby.com. That's MARILYN. Mosby, MOSBY.com, www.justiceformarilynmosby.com. There's a great write-up about just, you know, what the situation is and calling on the president to pardon her. You can also call the White House line, which is 202-456-1111, and leave a simple message asking, again, President Biden to pardon Marilyn Mosby. Back to you, Roach.
You know, since this is a federal state, so the governor, Wes Moore, there's nothing he can do because he's state. This is a federal situation.
Mm.
And for folks who are listening to this show, particularly returnees or people who've been in prison and they got family or loved ones who's inside, you know the role of a prosecutor. And for a black sister, the youngest in the country and the first in Baltimore to do what she's done, and she made moves against the power structure. One of the things that come to mind, Akichi, is Congresswoman Barbara Lee from California. Back in 2000, 500 representatives voted to give the president more power to declare war. And she was the only one who went against 499 congressmen to say, no, I'm not going to vote to give the president this kind of total authority. So she stood up to power. You're doing the same thing, young lady. And I'm telling you, when you take a stand, we find out all the jiggy-boogie come out of the closet, all of the racism and discrimination, that kind of stuff. But folk, whether you like it, whether she was convicted or not, that ain't the issue. The issue is what's coming down beyond this. We know this was racially motivated. We know that it's a lot of bigotry going on. And for these black women, at 50 years in the criminal justice system, I've never seen four or five black women be targeted like this all over the country. I don't care what they did. And then people listening, all of you have done something. Everybody just ain't been caught. I've been caught every time I did something, I got caught. Some of y'all haven't been caught. And you sit up on a high perch. Oh, I wouldn't do that. That's jiggy boogie. We're talking about our black sister, a mother, a sister, a wife. We got to make sure we protect her. She tried to protect us while she was in a position to do something. And because she was doing things to let people out of prison, to stop criminalizing poverty issues or crimes that are related to poverty, this lady went to try to reduce the prison population. And she's being punished for that. And I don't care how you look at it, as Nikisha said, call, write letters, call the White House. You can call the congressman, senator, everybody. We should all rally behind our dear sister, because we know that we don't get treated fair in the court system, and she's a part of the system, and she ain't been treated fair. How do you think we get treated if she's a former prosecutor and they're doing this jiggy boogie to her? How do we get it off of us?
And you're right, Roach. It's so much greater than me. It's not even about Marilyn Mosby. It's about what Marilyn Mosby represents, right? And challenging that status quo. You mentioned, you know, Governor Wes Moore and all these other politicians. They have attempted to make an example out of me. They have attempted to isolate me. And I've felt it. I've felt the abandonment, the isolation. I've gone through all of it, and it's intentionally imposed so that they can say, not only to me, but to people who are attempting to challenge the status quo in the way that I have, not to do it. And so if they can make an example out of me, which I've done absolutely nothing wrong and absolutely nothing criminal, right? If they can do this to me, what it says to the other folks in these positions making decisions about our community is that no, we're not going to challenge that status quo. No, we're not. We don't want that smoke. And so that's why you have all of my former colleagues who don't even want to be seen in my presence, as if I've done something criminal. I'm not the typical Baltimore corrupt politician that they try to make me out to be. I've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing criminal. And this has everything to do with what I've done and standing up for the rights, the justices for people of color in this country.
So let me ask you this. I just found out that attorney Ben Crump, as well as Angela Rye, one of the top lawyers in the country, one of the top media people in the country, have offered their support. What type of support have they offered? And just the fact that these very influential, prominent Black leaders have come out in your defense. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I have support. I mean, people who know that this is illogical.
It's Jiggy Boogie.
Right? And it could easily
It's Jiggy Boogie.
Yeah, and Jiggy Boogie. That's what you said. But yeah, I think I said it right, Roach. But any Angela Rye, who, you know, I highly respect. She's one of the most brilliant attorneys in the country. Ben Crump, we all know the legacy and the man that he is and what he represents. And he's gone out at the National Action Network, conference and said, this is ridiculous. We want elected officials. We want people who are going to be in there to ensure justice and equality for everyone. But when we get them in there, how are we standing for them? How are we supporting them? Are we turning our backs on them because they are now villainizing us? Malcolm X, what is that quote that Tyrone always talks about? Like, with the... don't be bamboozled. The media will have you hating the person that is oppressing you, right? And loving the oppressor. Like, it doesn't even make sense. And I just want us as a community to wake up. They understand the power of that role, which is why they have done what they're doing in trying to break me psychologically, financially, emotionally, reputationally, any way that they can, because they want to make an example out of me so that nobody else will ever dare to do
what
I've
intended to. Yes. You know, how is this impacting your daughters? You have two daughters, 13 and 15. What effect did this have on your daughters, and are they receiving threats too against their life and safety?
You know what? I am so grateful, and I got to be really clear with you. I would not be in my right mind if it wasn't for God. God, in my faith, He has gotten me. He has covered me. He has covered my little girls, because you have to think about it. The trauma that's been imposed upon me has also been imposed upon my little girls. I know that in one instance when my kids were going to school, you know, little kids can be cruel. And they're like, oh, that's why your mom's going to jail, right? Like, but this is a result of the villainization of the media, right? Like, putting out misinformation about what's actually happening. And so, yeah, they've been traumatized by this experience. But by the same token, you know, from a positive perspective, my little girl, my oldest daughter, she's 15, and she had a cotillion the other day. And without even me knowing, she was introduced, and they have to introduce their name, and they have to say what school they go to. And she went out, and they have to say what they want to be when they grow up. Mind you, she's never told me this ever before. They announced that my baby wants to go to law school, and she wants to be a prosecutor. So, you know, it's really come full circle for me, because one of the things that I tried to shield them from is the vitriol. And so the first trial, I did not let them participate because I felt like, you know, they shouldn't. I didn't want them to see that the reporters clamming for me and acting the way that they do. But then I thought about it and I said, no, they need to see strength in the face of adversity, especially when you know that God is not going to forsake the righteous. So it was really important. And that was a full circle for me, because I was able to then say, okay, well, maybe I am doing something right. My baby wants to be just like me.
Yes, this is WPFW, your station. for jazz and justice. Marilyn, what I want to know, I always say that we have the power. What should we be doing? I mean, we know what's going on in America, but as a people, we have the power. How can we harness what we have for your and all of our benefit?
We have to set an agenda. Right? We need to set an agenda. It's an election year. These folks need our vote. As Black women, we are the foundation of our communities. How can we vote for someone when they won't take a stand against the you have to be the righteous. You have to take a stand for the righteous. And I'm just using me as an example. But I, like I said, this is so much greater than me. There are so many Black women under attack. How are we just sitting back and allowing this to happen? When are we going to stand up and say, no, you're not. You're not going to take for granted the foundation of our community when you need our vote in order to get in that position. You need us in order to implement on our agenda. And so, unfortunately, we allow it to take place. And this is why we're the most unprotected, neglected, and disrespected person in America, is because as a community, holistically, we allow it.
That's
don't
right.
I want to invite people to call in WPFW if you want to join this conversation with Marilyn Mosby, 202-588-0893.
You know, one of the things, if I was a different religion,
let me just
you wouldn't be on trial.
They stick together.
You wouldn't be on trial.
Correct.
If you were a different race, you wouldn't
be.
Yeah.
But they would, and if I was, their communities will come together and say, absolutely not.
Right.
You know, we got some, I think you mentioned it at the top, Nikisha, that they're having a fundraiser or a plate or something for Marilyn Mosby to help out. Because I know the financial strains, when you get a federal charge and you got to go to court, you lose everything, your house, your savings, your 501k, everything. It destroys your kids' relationship and you and your husband just got divorced. So a criminal case is almost like the ending of your current life, and you got to start a new life or find a way to make a new life. But beyond that, we as Black people, especially Black men, need to support and rally around our Black women. Because when we seen this, I was at a program Saturday, Marilyn, with Aisha Brave Boy over in PG County, and we had a program for returning citizens. 70 guys who were over 70, 80 years old, did 30, 40, 50 years, and they were there. And Aisha saw the same need that we're talking about right now for a prosecutor to come to a community meeting comprised of mostly returnees, guys that did time in prison, and speak and see, make a commitment of doing whatever they can. She had the same attitude we had. Somebody called me this morning at 7:30 this morning, and they found out that we had you on the show. They wanted to know why. Why? She is a Black woman, a Black sister, a mother, and I don't care what they accuse you of, they can find you guilty of overdose of Kool-Aid. I don't care how you cut it.
We got two callers on the line, Roach.
We'll take our first caller, please. Question or comment for Attorney Marilyn Mosby? Question or comment, you're on the air.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, come on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on.
Hello, Ms. Mosby.
Hi.
My comments concern Joe Biden. He was not the president when he put together that crime bill almost 30 plus years ago. The power of the president is one thing, but the power of the Congress, the Senate especially, is another. Can you speak to the power of the Senate and their influence on law against the Black and poor people of America?
Yeah, and I think you make a really valid point. He wasn't the president at the time of the 1994 crime bill, but he was in Congress. And what I can tell you is that he signed on to it, right? And so you go in and you make policies and you implement laws that have sort of collateral consequences on our community. And so now he's in a position
to rectify what I would describe as flawed judgment at the time that he signed on to that bill. And he has the ability and the power to say, okay, here is someone who has attempted to reverse the effects of that flawed sort of bill and those policies from the past. And it's illogical. I know folks, what's so frustrating to me is that, like, people will say, oh, well, she shouldn't have did it, right? Like, she's been convicted by a jury of her peers. She shouldn't have did it. I shouldn't have done what? I shouldn't have done what? I shouldn't have done what?
Yes.
I shouldn't have accessed,
yes.
I shouldn't have withdrawn my own money. I should not have taken my money and attempted to build generational wealth for my children as I was exiting my marriage and attempting to figure out the next step beyond state's attorney. That's what I should not have done. No, I should have been a little black girl that stayed in her place and not challenged the status quo, and I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in, period. I'll never accept that. I'll never accept it. And yes,
the president
has the power and the ability to make some change and to actually say, okay, I understand it. It's illogical. This is a precedent we don't want to set, and I'm going to do something about it. And we as black people, we should be pushing on him to do so.
Biden not only was a signer of the crime bill, he was the architect of that 1994 crime bill. I just want to make that point. He needs to undo everything that he was the architect of at that time. This another caller, Boach, I think.
Yes, before we take the other caller, like Marilyn, the gentleman that just called in is Rick from Germany. He's one of our regular callers. He called in from Stuttgart, Germany. He's one of the international listeners that we have listened to. That's why I say what we're talking about goes around the world. So folks around the world are getting an opportunity to see how what's happening. And for those folk who called me this morning, it's just one person. Several calls.
Criminal justice system there. It was, you guys have some amazing, you do amazing work in Germany. They actually lead their criminal justice system with compassion and dignity.
Right. You know, we got another caller on. We'll take our next caller. Question or comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, this is Brother Haki Ami from Baltimore.
How you doing?
Brother Haki, yeah.
How you doing?
Good, beautiful. It's always good. We appreciate both of you, Brother Roach and Sister Mama and Kichi, for having our sister on. I'll be really quick. I just wanted to let everybody know just what, you know, some of us are doing in the Baltimore area for our sister.
Beautiful. Yes.
I mean, so we have several things that principally we... you know, there's something happening on May the 19th that's going to be in Clarksville. That's in the afternoon. You know, we're going to come together and really support our sister. It's a, you know, kind of a barbecue type of thing. But that's in the afternoon. That's on the 19th. And just a FYI, Election Day is coming up. Well, there's early voting. And then there's, you know, the Election Day is on May the 14th. So we're going to get a bunch of flyers out, certainly doing that, at the, both the early voting sites, and that early voting is this Thursday. It's like 7 days. But we want to get flyers out there as well as, you know, on Election Day on the 14th. So, you know, so we have a good army and we're growing and growing and growing. And we actually, we have a Zoom on Wednesdays, every Wednesday. A few of us come together on a Zoom. So I'll just give out my number.
Please do. Okay.
Yes. If anybody wants to, you know, I want to connect you all to everyone else. 410-209-9687. One more time. 410-209-9687. I think y'all gave out a lot of the good information, but, you know, we just want to, you know, keep creating some awareness. So we appreciate this audience, WFPR. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hakeem.
Thank you, Hakeem. We appreciate you. So we heard what's going on. The sister need our support and she need help. She lost her income. They're talking about sending her to prison. They're doing a $100 plate meal, and Brother Hakeem just explained what they're doing. We need to wrap our arms around Marilyn Mosby, all these other problems, Fannie Willis. I don't care if you like them or don't like them. What's important is we got them in positions that we never had them in before. Black women are in positions now that can impact whether you go to jail or not go to jail, or you can stay there a little while or a long while. And we get somebody who's not afraid to take a stand, because we know about a lot of, as my wife always said, everybody brown ain't down. And we got to get rid of this jiggy boogie. Hello?
Yes. Yeah, my name is Lieutenant Colonel Tyrone Bellis. We met. I just wanted to quickly say some of the things that we can do to help Marilyn Mosby. Everybody listening needs to pick up a pen, and we can get involved in this fight. And it's something that we can help her, really help her at. Well, first thing you need to www.justiceformarilynmosby.com. Sign the petition. There's a pardon petition online. And Joe Biden, is, as you indicated before, has the power to pardon her right now with a tweet if he wanted to. So we need to get, we're trying to get 100,000 names. Sign that pardon petition and pass it on. Make sure you pass the information on. There's going to be a cookout, as the brother mentioned, on the 19th. It's on the site. And also, we're looking for members for the Warrior Queens for Marilyn Mosby. We're going to meet at the Freedom Freedom Plaza in D.C. at 12 o'clock on May the 11th and March to the White House. We have signed.
What date is it? What date?
We're going to meet at Freedom Plaza, the Warrior Queens. We want females, Warrior Queens from Marilyn Mosby. We're going to meet at Freedom Plaza on May the 11th. We're trying to get a contingent in Baltimore. We're trying to get a bus for them to take them to D.C. to meet with the D.C. people, because it's a unity thing, most of all. A unity thing.
There you go. There you go. You know, thanks a lot, Lieutenant Voss, for calling in and for putting us in touch with Marilyn, because she's been on that show a couple of times. Last week, there was a national, international rally and march of women from all over the world called Free Her. And I wish we'd have done this a week or so before, because we had a few thousand women from all over the world, Marilyn, on Freedom Plaza. And it was talking about free her, go free her, about these women is doing 30, 40, 50 years in prison, who are our mothers, sisters, daughters, and wives. And that support that they got with Andrea James and the National Council for Incarcerated Women and Girls, we need to all work together. Like we said, Saturday, when we was with Aisha Brayboy. So we need to all come together to work, because I don't care what they charge you with. Man, they can lock up any one of you for anything at any time for any reason, you know. So let's focus on what they're doing to our sisters and save our black sisters. We got two more calls on. Our next caller, please. Question or comment?
Yeah, good morning, Coach. How you doing? It's Brother Marvin, Fort Washington. How you doing?
Hey, Marvin, how you doing from Fort Washington?
Hey, man, I'm fine, Roach, man. Always a pleasure to listen to your program, and I always got you posted on Facebook because, you know, the information that you give is just priceless, man. I want to say good morning to Marilyn Mosby. You know, Marilyn Mosby, you'll always be my Angela Davis of the criminal justice system.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that.
That is an extreme compliment.
I've been following you for a long time, and the question that I have is, when you got falsely indicted, Fox 45 in Baltimore don't like black people and don't like strong black people. So they did a smear campaign on you.
Yep.
And they did a smear campaign on you. After all that you have done to exonerate black men and women that was wrongfully incarcerated in Baltimore prisons, and also when they like celebrated that day, I will never forget that. It was so much anger and hatred and racism, man, towards you. And, you know, you have done a whole lot that people don't even really realize. You know, when Alvin Bates got in, the new state's attorney, he reactivated your low-level crime offenses that you wasn't prosecuting for. You know, they know, they understand the racial disparities, they know. But I want to commend you on all the work and all the sacrifices that you have
done. Thank you.
I
want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate that. I mean, I think when you look at the conservative news stations in this city in particular, right, like I filed an FCC complaint on them when they wanted to promote my daughter's pictures and say what school they went to. Challenging them, they were very happy to lead this
villainization campaign, propaganda campaign, that the city was in crisis as a result of me. But when you look at the COVID policies that where my office stopped prosecuting minor offenses that have nothing to do with public safety, that can lead to a death sentence for Black people in this country, like Sandra Bland, who failed to put on a turn signal, you know, Eric Garner allegedly selling loose cigarettes, Dante Wright had merely an air freshener in his car, where they end up dying, right, because we're relying on the police to respond to these minor offenses that have nothing to do with public safety. What we were able to do is to document the there's quantitative data that with my policies, more than we were able to, when 26 other major municipalities in the country, their crime rate went up. For the first time, our crime rate went down during those policies. And Johns Hopkins University has put up a Johns Hopkins put out a study and report where they said that as a result of my policies, we averted the arrest of 78%, which would have been Black people. Right. So when we talk about issues, you're not going to get that on Fox News. You're not going to get that information. What you're going to get is this boogeyman theory that I have, I'm a devil with a horns growing out my head and a tail between my legs. Those are the same people that put $200,000 in my opponent's, in the race against me in support of my opponent who's now sitting in office and has reversed all of my policies, right? The program and that you were referencing, Roach, where you were talking about Aisha Brave Boy, I started a sentencing, I was the first one to start a sentencing review unit where it was dedicated to modifying the sentence of the elderly prison population and juvenile lifers. We released more than 60 individuals under that program, right? And so that program no longer exists under my predecessor, the one that got $200,000 from that conservative media station. So yes, it requires us to think and to know what we're dealing with. The same individual who's now sitting in that position, who's going down to Annapolis to testify against young people and imposing more sanctions upon our young people and not getting rid of my programs that got to young people before they got to the criminal justice.
See, that's one of the things that really got me. I don't know if you noticed, but the D.C., PG County, as well as Baltimore, have all passed legislation in the past 30 days to criminalize and prosecute Black and brown youth. There's nothing about intervention, interdiction, or other options or alternatives to this. So when we get a strong Black person who's doing something to improve or release or get our folk equal justice or some kind of justice that appear to be equal, they have a tendency of destroying you, pulling you down. And I want to say, before we got a couple of minutes, Marilyn,
we have one more caller. Just one more caller.
We got a couple of minutes. I wanted, before we take the other caller, let us say a closing remarks. What need to be done, what people can do to help and support you, Marilyn Mosby? What can our listeners do?
Roach, I think going to justiceformarilynmosby.com is first and foremost. I think that we need to be informed. You can find out the facts and really think about it, not rely on the propaganda of the media, and to understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, and more importantly, that if this can happen to me, right. They're trying to take my. They filed an emergency petition to take my law license. They've been doing that since I charged the offices in Freddie Gray. If this can happen to me, it can happen to you, right? It can happen to anybody that you elect and put into these positions. So it just requires us to be informed and to wake up. We have the power, and we have the power of unity. They need our vote. Like, let's do something about it.
So what can we do to help you? Because honestly, you're going through some financial hardship because you just mentioned. They suspended or terminated your license, so you can't practice law no more.
They're attempting to. We're fighting that. I have an attorney, pro bono, a sister who is, thank God, another sister who's representing me pro bono on that case. But yes, they're trying to set a precedence that has never been set before and filing an emergency petition to take my law license before I'm actually even sentenced, which they typically don't do, but they're going to try to do in my case. So yes, if you go to justiceformarilynmosby.com, you can find out the events, you can see the petition, and then there's also a GoFundMe. And you know, the proceeds, I go directly to me. And so that's what you can do to support.
So if you're listening to this show, you've learned quite a bit, and regardless of what the government is saying, this lady is one of us. She's our sister. She's a mother. And she did everything she could do to try to make things better for those men and women going into the criminal justice system and trying to get them out. So please, people, we need your help. We need your support in letters, phone calls, texts, emails. to all the powers that be, somebody somewhere can do something to help our sister, and we should help our sister, because again, we know that when you show strength, whether it's a man or a woman, they have a tendency of taking you down. All black women and black infants have this many black prosecutors, females, shaking up the criminal justice system and talking about these integrity units and not prosecuting low-level offenses. That means less black people are going to prison. So I don't care what your thoughts may be about the conviction that she got. That's separate from it. That's the one that was motivated by this situation of her taking a stand to do what's right. So I want to thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. We have one caller. Let's take the last caller.
Yeah.
You're on air.
Oh, how you doing? Yeah, I just wanted to tell Marilyn Mosby, thank you so much for everything that you have done for Baltimore your whole time. You have been a role model for so many sisters. I'm a Baltimore resident, and I just wanted to say that to you. And I also wanted to say two points of what y'all was making on. Two things that you crushed. Like you said, you crushed the business of that whole incarceration thing by doing what you was doing. And you also, like y'all were saying, you took a stand by what you did for Freddie Gray. So Baltimore will always have a love for you. And not only do we need to have love for you, now we need to put our support behind you. So
there
once
you
again,
go.
Thank you. Thank you for all you've done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Marilyn, give the numbers again. Give the numbers out for folks to contact you if they want to support and help out. How did you get in touch?
Yeah, if you want to support and help out, you can go to justiceformarilynmosby.com. And there's, again, there's the petition, there's, you know, the events that we have coming up on the 11th. We have an event coming up on the 19th, which is going to be like a fundraiser barbecue. And then we have the sentencing, which is on May 23rd. And we want to have as many people at the courthouse as possible. And, of course, there's the GoFundMe on that page as well. And the other thing that, you know, my warriors here in Baltimore have been doing is they've started a phone banking and calling and reaching out to the White House and demanding that the President Biden issue a pardon because he has the power to do that.
Please keep us informed of everything that's going on. We'll be there. We're right across down the road in D.C. We'll see you real soon, Marilyn. Whatever's going on, please keep us plugged in so we know what's happening. And to our distinguished co-host, Nikichi, you got any closing words, Nikichi?
I just want to say that Marilyn Mosby is the epitome of strength in the face of adversity.
I love you. We are here for you. We got your back, and we definitely got the prayers. That is the power.
And we
got
to stop this jiggy boogie. And we got to stop this jiggy boogie. If you ever got a question or comment, remember, tell it to the hat. Tell it to the hat. So we want to thank everybody. Huh? Hello. Yeah, we want to thank everybody that's been listening in and to Marilyn Mosby. Our prayers grow with you, young lady. We're with you. You got our support. Anything we can do, just keep us tuned in, and we'll be there and keep our listeners informed of what's happening with you, with the criminal justice, with the criminal injustice system.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we to bring some loving here today, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way. Some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me.